We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Word gets around. We gotta keep it tight.
We gotta keep it locked and loaded. Tight. Keep it together. Keep our shit together on this podcast because you never know who's listening.
We used to be able to gab about anything and everything, but now too many people know.
No more. You never know who's listening. And that used to be a good thing when we would say, like,
you never know. Advice. We got to ask for things because you never know who could be listening. Now we got to be like, we got to shut our mouths because you never know who's going to be listening. All right, let's get into it this week because what a weekend.
The Australian Grand Prix never fails to provide entertainment.
And you know what? I should have learned this lesson a very long time ago. However, there was one, probably 2 years ago, that was so boring that I fell asleep during it. And since then, I've just been like, meh, I don't really need to watch. I'll catch the replay. As people may have seen on Instagram, I had texted my mom, I'm not staying up because I'm not watching Max win another race. Surprise, surprise. I ate those words.
You ate those
really
words.
Really quickly.
And you were on your witch energy for that because I don't think that that was a bad thing.
It was not a bad thing.
You willed it into existence.
I did.
You just didn't know.
I just was like so over it. I was like, I'm not watching Max win another race. And in my mind, I was like, can you imagine if he didn't? And guess what? It happened. That's eclipse season for you. That's eclipse season. Okay. Strong energy everywhere.
I mean, I just feel like we should have known.
We should have.
Because Australia just, it started out
with a bang.
Literally. So in practice,
FP1,
Alex Albon totaled his car. Absolutely ripped it to shreds. Destroyed it. And Williams, shall we say, lower middle class team on the grid, did not have another car available. And they can't afford to have one. They didn't have one there. So they're like, we legitimately only have one car for the weekend. So they made a controversial decision to let Alex drive Logan's car instead of having Logan just be their only car in the race. Which I understand the logic of, because they were like, we really need a point, and so we have to basically take our one car and decide which driver is going to give us the best chance of scoring a point.
I was going to say, did Alex even score a point? I don't think he did.
I think he came in technically 12th, but because of, I think,
Alonso's penalty.
He came in 11th, unless I'm mistaken, and... No, I think that's true because I think there was only supposed to be one Haas with points, but then with the penalty, they had two.
No, because even without the penalty, they were already 9th and 10th.
Oh, were they? Okay, then he must have always been 11th.
Let's see. Yeah.
I love how confident we both are sometimes. We're just being like, yeah, I mean, that's like what happened. And we're like, actually, no,
that's not the truth, Ellen.
So Alex did come in 11th, which... If I was Logan,
I'd be pissed.
I would be so mad. I would be so mad at the fact that, like, because one, neither of them had points on the board at all.
Yeah. So it wasn't like Alex was like so much better and they're consistently getting points. So they're like, obviously, our consistent point score is getting
the car. That would make sense, right? Like, if we think about it, if it were Red Bull and Max crashed his car, they'd be like, Checo, get the fuck out. Max is taking your car. Makes sense, right? Like, makes sense. But in the case for Williams, who has 0 points, it's only the third race of the season. They are not volleying for any real spot in the top three. And then to have him not even score any points.
Yeah.
I would commit crimes. I would commit crimes for sure. And I salute Logan for sitting still and looking pretty, because I would be like, what's in it for me?
Yeah. Be like, okay,
like, what did they give him? This is carrying over the conversation from last week and about what George wants. What does Logan want out of this? Especially now, because I think he has some leverage to be like, he didn't even fucking score a point and you took that away from me.
Well, you know what probably happened? Someone Freaky Friday'd with Logan.
Or week. Alex. They Freaky Friday with Alex and that's why he crashed the car.
But I think they Freaky Friday with Logan and Logan's probably like, actually, he can have my seat. I'll be a team player. I'll take one for the team.
I'll actually
race this week. And just remember that.
Which one of you Freaky Friday with Logan? Raise your hand.
Raise your hand, show yourself.
Speak up.
Will the real Logan Sargeant please stand up?
Please raise your hand if it was you.
We're
going to have a problem here. Okay, let's watch next race to see if Logan still races. If he doesn't race again, we know.
We know.
There has been a body swap.
And we need to contact whoever is in Logan's body and be like, okay, what do we need to do to get you to swap back? Like, what lessons do you need to learn? What lessons need to be learned in order for you to swap back? Like, do you know Logan? Did you know him beforehand? Mm-hmm. So, like, are you his brother? Do you guys need to solve an issue to get between yourselves? Like, what needs to happen?
Yeah.
We need to figure it out.
We'll get to the bottom of the case. I know that to be true. I know that to be true. But, yeah, it looked like Logan was a pretty good sport all weekend. It was funny because they asked Max about it.
And Max was like, mm-mm.
And Max was like, if that happened to me, I would flatten my car and no one would be driving on my team. And I was like, you know what? He's real for that, though. Like, he's so real for that.
Like, honestly, mood.
He's like, if I can't race, then nobody's racing.
That's what George said. George said, but George was being a real team player. And he was like, if Lewis can't race, I can't race either.
He said, I'll go out with my teammate, solidarity.
Yeah, and in an incredible turn of events in this race, I felt like I was watching, like, 2021 F1.
Mm-hmm.
It was nuts. We are just sitting there, we're watching. I also did not stay up for this race, but I woke up. Nick woke me up in the morning, and we watched it on repeat. I just, like, left my phone.
Same, I avoided all conversations. I was like,
no. Just say no. And you're watching the race. And what is it? 4 laps in. First of all, second lap, Carlos is like, what if I actually just overtook Max right now? And everyone was like, what's happening? Oh, my God. Like, crazy fan noise, crowd noises. Everyone,
the crowd goes wild.
Like, jazz hands. Carlos is doing it. Carlos is doing what's never been done before. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment, people. And that, if that wasn't crazy enough, almost immediately after, Max is on fire, literally. And he's
well,
like...
Well, that kind of took away from the moment from Carlos, because obviously there were issues with Max. But well,
has come out to say that he thinks that even if Max stayed in the race, Carlos, like, the Ferrari still would have won. He was like, we didn't have it this weekend. And, like, our car just wasn't there.
I guess we'll never know.
But Max is like Lightning McQueen hobbling himself, trying to get to the pit lane. He's on fire. His brakes are exploding. I was like, this is wild. This has never happened in years. And then all of a sudden we hear Lewis say, I've got engine failure.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, no way. So Lewis is out. Then it's anybody's game.
Yeah, it really is.
I was like, anything can literally happen right now. So Carlos,
we all got our wish. We all got our collective wish where we said, what would a race look like
if Max wasn't racing?
And we got to see it.
And it was great. And I was happy with it. Carlos is leading. Charles is trying for the undercut. Lando and Oscar are up there. It's a Ferrari-McLaren battle. It's an epic battle for the ages.
It was close. It felt like going into the last two laps, it could have been anyone's game.
Charles is trying to undercut everyone. Lando just misses it. Charles gets out just in time. I was audibly gasping throughout this race, and I don't think I've done that once in like 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have not been shocked.
No gasps have been gasped.
No, not a gasp to be seen. And I was gasping. So if we had to write a letterboxed review of the Australian Grand Prix, it would literally just be like, I gasped for the first time in a year.
Asterisk, gasp, asterisk.
Yeah, like, it was so good. And then we're on the final lap. Nick called it. He was like, oh my gosh, you know what? He's like, George is trying so hard to hold on to his position right now and like, or trying so hard to pass Alonso. I bet you he just puts it in the wall because he's trying too hard. Literally not 10 seconds later, George is in the wall.
Did Nick just see that and he was pretending
to be
psychic?
That's what I said. I was like, did you look on Twitter? And he was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, okay, we'll see. We were zero cell phone policy, he says.
It was funny because I was watching and Carly came out and she goes, and it was kind of getting to the end and she goes, when is it? What's going on? And I was like, wait. I was like, do you mean Carlos isn't going to win? Because he was in the front. Because I was like, oh, Carly maybe knows. And she goes, no, not that. And then like 30 seconds later, George hits the wall. And she goes, I was wondering when that was going to happen. So I was like, okay, so you knew. You had seen what was going on. And she's like, I can't believe it happened the last lap. And I was like, yeah, very crazy.
It's classic George, though. It is so
classic.
People
were like really upset about the fact that it wasn't a red flag. And it was kind of like, you know what? They would have had to go around him anyway to get back to the pits.
They were finishing that lap no matter what.
Like, it was the end. There was no reason for them to draw it out and then do a full restart. Like, be so fucking for real.
Yeah. For once, I agreed with the FIA's decision.
Literally. It was not like
Abu Dhabi 21.
Yeah, that's not what it was. Okay. No. And so, like, we need to just settle down.
Yeah. So George is fucking in the wall. Final lap.
Alonso did get a penalty, though, for causing that crash.
I don't think it was causing the crash. It was, like, potentially dangerous driving.
Mm.
Because I think he might have been going a little bit slow or something, or, like, weaving a little bit. So I don't think it was, like, necessarily causing the crash. But his driving could have influenced George's driving. Mm. Which could have led to it, is what I read at least. But yeah, it was crazy. I felt like there was such good racing happening, even for other positions. And you had the two Haases that were like going for the points. You had Alex that was like, he was desperate to get a point. Didn't happen, but he was desperate. You had Yuki absolutely flying. Yuki was doing so good.
Yuki was crushing again.
Steak with the horrible pit stop.
I know. They were like, oh, there's Bottas with the law. And I said, not again.
Literally not again. And then they did it to Zhou. And I was like, you guys have to get it together. And then they go, And then they go, oh, and that's Sauber, you know, soon to become Audi. And I was like, Carlos, no. I can't.
Okay, well, hopefully they, like, figure it out.
Yeah. They were also, like, the commentators were saying, hopefully, you know, Audi comes in and it's like a Mercedes takeover where they come with all, like, the money and it kind of follows that path. But
fingers crossed.
My God, they need to get it together.
Like, yeah, it's so embarrassing and it's tough to watch.
It's just like, this is literally your one job. Like, you're a pit crew member.
But
your
again, job it's is
pit
not,
stop. Your Ken
not,
job is pit stop and you can't do it.
No, but again, it's not necessarily the pit crew's fault. It's the nuts. Remember? You were laughing about the D's nuts. It's the nuts keep spinning, like they're getting stuck, so it's the nuts problem. So they gotta figure out who's kind of who has a vendetta against them and who's sending them faulty nuts, because that's the problem.
Mr. Peanut needs to release a statement. Said if you want good, reliable nuts, you come to Mr. Peanut.
Great opportunity for them to do some sort of sponsorship collab.
I'm telling you, I'm always thinking about it. There are other fun things I want to talk about from the weekend. First of all, Zac Efron was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick, we're watching it, and Nick goes, oh, yeah, Zac Efron, because he's Australian. And I was like, he's not Australian. He's like, no, but he lives in Australia.
He does.
And we had a whole back and forth where I was like, do you think that Zac Efron's Australian? And he was like, no, I know he's not Australian, but he has that whole show about why he lives in Australia and just being Australian.
Valtteri Bottas.
He was like, he's like Bottas. Bottas is not Australian, but like he is Australian. And I was like, okay, I get it.
Nick and I are always on the same wavelength.
Always. But Zach is looking more normal.
I know.
His jaw is slimming back out a little bit.
Yeah, it's not looking as scary.
I'm wondering. So obviously he said that he broke his jaw and he got it wired shut. Mm-hmm. And that's why it looked the way it did. But I'm still not subscribing to that. And I still think he got filler or like jaw reconstruction. And I feel like he was bullied into taking it out.
Good.
I think that he was finally bullied into taking it out because it's been looking a little bit slimmer.
Or he's like grown into it. Like maybe it was proportional to like the rest of his body.
Yeah.
Maybe we've just gotten used to it.
Also, true.
Maybe that's the case. But yeah,
I think it was at its worst when he was filming that wrestling movie,
The Iron Claw. Yeah.
So I feel like maybe it had to do with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when Christian Bale like gains 400 pounds or something, like I think he was like, I gotta look like this guy, and like really did something.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe it was like dissolvable filler, you know what I mean? So it was like there for a while, but then like eventually it goes away, like dissolvable lip filler.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
I don't really either, but I think it just dissolves.
We're just natural beauties.
I'm just naturally.
No work done whatsoever.
My jaw is naturally this puffy. I don't need filler.
Zap I've wishes he could have.
Right there.
Yeah, but no, I loved that he was there. Love the crossover. I feel it feels like we should have seen him at the Australian Grand Prix before. Like, it feels like natural that he would be there for some reason. I don't know why. It just feels like a likely place for Zac Efron to be, I feel like, you know?
I agree with that.
Having no context. Yeah.
And no knowledge if he actually likes racing.
No.
It does feel like a likely place for him to be.
It feels like somewhere then you'd be like, yeah, of course, Zac Efron. He's always here.
Yeah. Zach. The number one racing fan.
Maybe he's getting into the zone because maybe he is also doing method acting and he will portray. Okay, question for you. If Zach had to play one of the drivers on the grid currently, who do you think he could do best?
Carlos.
Okay.
Great bodies, both of them.
Fantastic.
Great chests. Zach has nice hair.
Mm-hmm.
we know he's got the bone structure and he'll figure it out. I feel like either Carlos or... No, I think it's just Carlos.
I think he could also maybe do Alonzo.
I was on the fence about saying Alonzo.
I feel like their build is kind of similar. Like, I feel... And Zach's not young. Zach's in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because if he was younger, I would say Lando. But he's too old to be Lando now.
He's too ripped to be Lando. Sorry. Yeah. Lando is... Lando's, like, baby ripped. You know what I mean? Like, he's, yeah. like... You just have that. Like, that's just, yeah. like, your body. That's not, like... Because
you have no... Yeah, no fat on you.
You just have no fat. And you, like, do work out some, so your muscles are just there. You're not, like, going to the gym hard to gain muscle. Yeah. Like, they're just there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Whereas Carlos, on the other hand, we've seen. He hits the gym.
We have seen.
I'm voting Carlos.
So, huge weekend for Carlos. Obviously, he did win.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the ending in which he said, tell Charles to get closer to me so that we can celebrate this one together?
That was so you and me.
Now, when I tell you that a single tear fell down my cheek, I am not lying. I was so overcome with emotion by that. I was just like, despite it all... Him and Charles still best buddies. And then in the post-race interview, Carlos goes, I agree with my two favorite teammates.
Yeah, because Charles and Lando were both like, he deserves this. Like, he's one of the best drivers on the grid. He really deserves this. Both of them were saying that. And he was like, I agree with my two favorite teammates.
No, I love that man. I love him with my whole heart. The sweetest little baby golden retriever, Carlos Sainz.
I feel like Carlos is like prom king of F1. Like, I feel like everyone likes Carlos.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Carlos is everyone's favorite. You know what I mean?
He's taken the place of Danny as everyone's favorite.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know. I don't really, you know, as if you guys have been listening to the pod for a while, I feel like you've seen the roller coaster of me defending Danny just kind of go up and down. And as of late, it's been nothing but down.
Because yeah, it's been a big downhill.
Apparently, there's rumors that he's been given an ultimatum.
A two-race ultimatum.
That if he doesn't get his shit together, he's out. And you know what? I can't even be upset about it. Like, I can't even be upset because what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
It's just, it's absolutely mind-blowing, to be honest. And we talked about this at the, like, right before the season began when we watched Drive to Survive. And mm-hmm. I was like, the slander on Yuki, where everyone is just assuming that Yuki is the worst on the team.
Yeah.
And like Nick DeVries coming in and being like, oh, I'm better than Yuki. And then Yuki's outperforming him. And then Danny coming in being like, I'm going to be the best. And then immediately getting hurt. And then Liam Lawson even coming in and being like, I can't believe I don't have a seat, but Yuki has one. Even though the one race I raced in, I was better than him. And I'm just like, I am so sick. I'm so sick of the Yuki hate and the Yuki slander by everyone. Enough. Because once again, all of the rumors this season, all of the rumors have been Danny's going to Red Bull. Danny said, I just want to get my Red Bull seat back. Don't overlook Yuki. He's been crushing it.
He has been crushing it.
Danny's a bum. Danny's a bum. And I'll say it. Danny's a fucking bum.
And I'll co-sign. I'll co-sign on that because they were like, oh, he's putting up max numbers. I'm like, he's putting up max numbers because he's got no one else on the track with him.
No one else on the track, and he has one lap to prove it to you. He's just, like, and he spun out. Before he put up a max number, he spun out. And nobody's on the track to push him off.
And you guys know this. I am a Ricard Ho day one. You guys know this. This is part of my lore. This is part of my origin story. And I can confidently say that, like, I do not think that he deserves a seat in Formula One anymore. Like, he is just, it is so depressing to watch every single week. I am just like, slowly puts away all of the Ricard Ho merch and pulls out my Carlos Sainz t-shirt.
I'm waving my Tsunoda slut flag. I'm waving it.
I'm a chili chaser.
I'm like, do you hear the people sing? Standing on the top of my battlements with my Tsunoda slut flag right on top of the barricades. Do you hear the people singing the song of angry Tsunoda sluts?
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Exactly. And I'm right there with you.
And I swear, if Danny does not pass his two race test and mm-hmm. Liam Lawson comes in, first of all, I'm very excited about Liam Lawson potentially coming on the grid. You all know, I talked about this after Drive to Survive, big fan, loved him. Would love to see him on the grid.
If he says some silly shit about Yuki Tsunoda.
If he comes for my baby.
This is a Yuki Tsunoda defense squad.
Catch these hands. And guess what? A very sharp ring on this hand, and this is the one that's going to get you.
That's the punching hand. Yeah.
Brass knuckle, too, of a diamond knuckle.
Getcha. People, enough is enough. Enough is enough talking bad about Yuki. Keep Yuki's name out of your mouth.
Keep it out of there.
Stop speaking on it. No one's asking for your opinion on Yuki, especially not Yuki. Yuki is just moving in silence. He's like, you know what? I know what I'm bringing to the table, and I know that it's going to be good enough to get me where I want to go. And I love that for him. Danny's out here running his mouth. He's peacocking, and guess where it's getting him? Nowhere. Yuki moving in silence.
Yuki onto the radar king.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I do my talking on the track.
Yeah, he said,
I'll show you.
Scoreboard.
Okay.
Scoreboard.
Scoreboard. You can talk your shit, but I'm still going to get more points than you, bitch.
He says, you can talk the talk, but I can walk the walk, baby.
Drive the drive. He's driving the drive. You want to know what? He's driving to survive.
He is. And you would think Danny would be driving to survive. You would think that there is a fire under his ass because he's been given another shot.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest mistake he ever made was leaving Red Bull because that was the only good car that he was ever going to have. But here's the thing. I'm like, my guy, bruh, at some point.
Level with me.
Yeah. At some point, it's not the car. It's you.
100%.
And every single team he's been to since Red Bull, he's been like, oh, the car's not as good as I thought. I'm just not as comfortable with the car. I'm not there with the car yet. And I'm like, my guy, I think it's you.
It's you. It's a everyone personal problem.
Everyone else is fine with the car. Everyone else is fine with it. So like.
But also at some points, like, stop mirror. Complaining. Yeah. Look in the mirror and say, it's me. And maybe I need to do something about it.
Time to try something else. I never want to use him as an example. But look at Michael Italiano. F1 clearly wasn't it for him. And what is he doing now? He's the head athletic trainer of an Indian cricket team.
Is he? I've not kept up with him. I was
curious the other day. I was like, I wonder what he's up to. And yeah, he's like the head of athletics at an Indian cricket team. He's having a ball, it looks like.
Good for him.
So, but I'm like, maybe Danny, maybe it's time to try something new.
Just focus on NASCAR
already. Like, just go to NASCAR.
Yeah, go to NASCAR.
They are desperate to have you, but they're not gonna be soon if you keep fucking being a bum.
Yeah, you keep showcasing these skills. No one's gonna want you in the motorsport world, babes.
Like, strike while the iron's hot, and NASCAR is like desperate for you. That's okay. Advice with Kate.
Danny, if you are interested in chatting more.
You never know who's listening. So if Danny's listening, you gotta hang it up.
Hang it up. Time to call it quits. You had a good run. And
we're
I loved you dearly
get
for it.
Crucified for this episode, I think.
You know what? I don't really care because guess what? It's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts.
Truth hurts.
You know what hurt my soul? You know what hurt my little heart? Max holding hands with P.
Daddy Max.
Stepdaddy
Max.
The thing is, though, too, like, but when I look at them, I'm like, they feel like siblings to me. Like, they feel like he's an older brother and he, like, that's his little sister. Like that's how it feels to me.
He's not the stepdad. He's the dad who stepped up.
Which is so funny because Kenny turned to me and he goes, he's like, is that photo of Max wearing a shirt that says, I'm not the stepdad, I'm the dad that stepped up real? And I said, Kenny, no, that's not real. No. I wish it was, but it is not.
Definitely not real.
It's real. It's canon in everyone's minds, but it is not real on this plane of existence.
You know what was real on this plane of existence? Mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Toto Wolff was so real this weekend, and I felt so connected to him on like an emotional level, because he said he's like, I want to punch myself on the nose after the double DNF this weekend. I said, that is so fair, and that is 100% something that I've said multiple times in my life.
He's so real for that.
And I was like, Toto gets it. Toto is one of the girls. For real. He's one of the mentally damaged girls. He's part of our club.
Just like me,
for real. Oh, man. All right, let's get into some standings. And everyone listening, you'll be happy to know, I actually did research before this recording so that we would not have to do live research. We can just absolutely tally up the points. So
let's go.
Huge news. You're welcome. So let's start with On Track. Probably the one and only time.
Yeah, no, tough weekend for me.
One
huh?
and only time that I might have crushed On Track.
I think
I did
you
not
did.
Write down these numbers though, so I'm gonna need you to get them.
Okay.
I know that Carlos got 25.
Mm-hmm.
Charles got 19. Because he got the fastest lap.
Lando got 15. Oscar got 12. Sergio got 10. Alonso got 8. Lance got 6. Yuki got 4. Nico got 2. And K-Meg got 1.
You might have actually beat me on that one. I don't know.
25, 19, 15 are pretty big numbers.
That's true. Okay, well, you're still winning overall. 147 to 159.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's for the week for the week.
No, it looks like it's total.
Total. So I got 60 and you got 42. So I won technically. All right.
Handshake. Off, good job.
Off track. So let me bring this up. Feel free to like call things out too if you think I got it wrong.
Okay.
So I didn't see any cold plunge picks.
Nope. I mean, I guess. Botas had a lot of naked pictures on the internet this weekend, but I don't know if we want to count that or not.
It's not a cold plunge.
Okay.
That's for our hot races. non-team fits. I have...
There were a lot of non-team fits.
A lot of them. So I have, let's see, Yuki, Oscar, Botas, where is he? Alonzo, Zhou, K-Mag, Lewis, obviously.
I feel like you could just do Lewis down. Just go ahead and do Lewis all the way down.
Nico, George, and Pierre. I didn't see anyone else, really.
No shot Lando was not.
I didn't see a photo of it.
Let's see.
If you can find one, I will obviously change it. Okay. Oh, wait, I found one. Lando. Okay, here's the thing, though. Lando's wearing quadrant merch. I guess that does technically count as non-team merch, huh?
Yeah, but that is his own merch then.
Right. Where is he?
He's on your team.
Okay. Well, then also, I messed up. So then Ocon and Ricardo both were wearing they were wearing their own merch. That's not a team fit, but then they'll get that point taken away for...
Yeah.
They're on. Okay. Wag attending a race. We've got Rebecca was there.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly was there. And I had, so I had Kika, Rebecca, Kelly, and Lily Z. Workout thirst trap. Charles went surfing. And I would say wetsuit counts as.
Botas did the Baywatch situation.
Yeah, he did. He was killing me this weekend.
And he also had the Speedo.
The budgie smuggler?
Yeah, the Speedo situation.
I literally could not handle him.
Lewis went surfing too.
Hot. Anyone on your team?
Not that I saw, no.
Okay.
Everyone was pretty... No.
No.
I was going to say there was a shirtless photo of Pierre, but it was Kika when they were at the beach. So that was not during the race weekend.
All right. Where's own merch? Obviously, Danny's a minus one. And he was sporting new on Shantae, so keep your eyes out. Yet another one's coming out. Alex Albon.
Esteban.
Oh, wait. If Albon got a minus one, then that means it's a one. Esteban.
You put in the wrong one, but that's okay.
What?
Esteban's on your team.
I know.
You put the one in the thirst trap.
I know, because I didn't put it down. Oh, for thirst trap. That's, sorry.
That's all I'm saying is if you want to keep it consistent.
And...
I think Pierre was also wearing his own merch.
Was he?
I feel like someone sent us in the DMs.
Okay. Special helmet. We actually had...
Oh my God, there were so many special helmets this weekend.
That I saw. And so Danny had a special helmet.
Lando.
Botas had a helmet. And Zhou had a helmet that I saw.
Oscar did too.
Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. Got it.
No one posted about F1 Academy.
And no one switched teams this week. All right, let's see. For the week, I have 18. You have 12. Winner, winner. Chicken dinner.
So overall, you are the winner this week.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're crushing me off track.
Yeah, I really am. My team is, they know what they're doing.
Oh, yep, that's all right. Bad weekend for me to be wishing Max's downfall and then to have Checo come in like sixth place. So
yeah.
Not really great for me.
No, not great for you, but I know
great you can. Great for come the sport, not great for me. That's fine.
You can come back from this. I know you can.
I can. We're still early.
And you will.
We're still early.
We really are. So early.
All right. Let's talk Red Bull 2025.
We gotta. The rumor mill is spinning. It's spinning. And it's funny because Checo's not even in the running.
No, which is so funny to me. They're like, who's getting that second seat? Not even a peep about Checo. Like, no, what do you know that we don't know that Checo is not even in contention for that second seat?
Like, yeah, the court of public opinion has administered.
Removed him. We've removed him from the conversation.
He's been publicly arrested. Was it citizens arrested?
Citizens arrest. Which is so crazy because, like, for all intents and purposes, like, he has not been doing poorly. Like, no. He came in second the past two races. Like, he just didn't do that well this week, but, like, it's not like he's pulling a Danny.
No, it is so funny. And Danny's in the running for this. Like, if I was Checo, I'd be pissed. Like, I'd be like, guys,
what? There is, in some iteration of this universe, somewhere in a parallel universe, there is a chance that Danny gets the Red Bull seat despite him not performing at AlphaTauri.
I know.
And can you imagine? I want to experience what the discourse is if that were to happen. Like, I want to know what the pundits will have to say. I want to know what the social media memes will be. Like, I just want to know.
It's like, I have no words or thoughts because it just feels so crazy. But, like, I know that it could happen. And oh, to be a charismatic white man. just to be a charismatic white man.
Like, that is peak, like, Delulu is the Salulu. Like, you can, if you can dream it, you can do it. Like,
if you can dream it, you can do
if
it.
If you, like, are a white man who is able to network
and you can funny and charming,
job, you can get any job you want. Must be nice. Once again, big theme of the pod, must be nice.
Must be nice. So, Danny is a potential for that Red Bull seat.
Despite it all.
That's number one. Despite it all, Danny is a potential. Other people have thrown Alonso's name in the ring. And I don't think I like that. Either. I don't think I see Alonso at Red Bull. I could see Alonso Mercedes. Same. I think I could see that. I think Alonso's specialty is, like, helping teams grow and build. Like, I think he goes to teams and helps them, like, turn it around. He's like that CEO that comes into, like, a failing company and is like, my job here is to turn you guys around, to either get you bought or acquired or something. And, like, they just turn them around and then they're like, and now I'm out and I'm gonna go do it again.
Private equity is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so that's Alonso's job, and Red Bull doesn't need that right now. Mercedes does. And so I could see that, but I also could not see him signing up to be second fiddle to Max.
No, absolutely
not. No way. That would be the most toxic team pairing of all time.
But I'd watch.
So there's that. And then, especially after this weekend, people are like, it could be Carlos's seat.
Yeah.
And I really could see it.
I could see it too.
Carlos started his career at Red Bull. Like, he was a Red Bull driver, academy driver. Like, I think that it, like, makes a lot of sense for him. I think he and Max would be a good pairing because I think Carlos is good at, like, being the team player, but also, like, he's still gonna, like, He's going to be competitive, and he's not going to just like roll over for a teammate. Like, I think he'll play the game, but he's also going to like play his own game a little bit. So I think I would actually really like that, as long as they treated him okay.
I think about being mean to Carlos.
We've heard from Christian Horner that they really wanted Lando for a while, but Lando re-signed a multi-year contract with McLaren, so I don't think that would happen. I almost feel like that second Red Bull seat might be Carlos's to lose right now. Like, yeah. I feel like he probably has almost like dibs on it, and he gets to refuse it if he wants to. So
I feel confident about that, because it feels right. And I think that he still has so much to give. And I think, like, you put him in a good car, like, he outperforms the Ferrari. Like, even when the Ferrari is bad, like, he still regularly does pretty good. So I'd love to see him in an actual functioning car and see what he can actually do with it.
The other person that wants a seat is Yuki. And I don't know if I love that journey for Yuki. I think that he would deserve it. Like, I think that he's good enough. I think he's this is fourth season. So he's like no longer a new driver. He's not a rookie driver. He's cut his teeth at AlphaTauri, RB, whatever we want to call it. And I think that he's been there long enough, and he's proven himself, and he's constantly getting better. Helmut Marko even said he had like a phenomenal showing this weekend. So like, he's getting some praise, and he's really getting there, but I don't necessarily think staying with the Red Bull family is right for him.
I agree. I think that I imagine that if he goes to Red Bull, I just feel like it's going to be a similar situation to like Pierre and Alex.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're going to cut him too early, and like, it's just not going to be good for him. Yeah. And I think that Yuki does have a lot of potential to be a really good driver.
Yeah.
And I think that going to Red Bull is going to diminish his ability to succeed in the sport.
100%. Like, I would like to see him at something like an Aston Martin. Like a team that has money, is not necessarily connected to another team, but has money and is willing to like invest in its cars and its drivers. Like, they're obviously not having the best season this year, but like, I think that they are going to be able to, I mean, if Lawrence Stroll has anything to say about it, they're going to be turning that right around. So like, I'd love to see him take a step up.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Red Bull is the place for him yet.
Agreed.
So I don't know. I don't know where else I would like to see him. But maybe McLaren at some point I would like to see. I think that could be a good spot for him.
I just don't imagine the Oscar Lando pairing is going to be done anytime soon.
No, definitely not. But just for the love of God, don't let him near Alpine. Don't let anyone near Alpine.
So sorry,
Cyril Alpine is rolling over in his metaphorical grave to see where Alpine is right now. You guys, he's like, you guys kicked me out for what? For what?
Or he's cackling because he's been putting pins in his little Alpine Formula One car voodoo doll.
And he's
like, ha ha.
He deserves to do that. He deserves that.
He does.
I hope he
said, you'll rue the day. You'll rue the day that you fired me.
I'm voodooing the shit out of you.
He said, Danny left me. He probably has a Danny voodoo doll as well. That's why Danny's been so bad, because he's like, Danny left me and I'm preying on his downfall.
We gotta get Cyril on the podcast, talk about his wit tendencies.
Yeah.
Are you a warlock, sir? I need to
know. What are your manifesting powers? Because anyone who's ever did you dirty is
kind of failing right now. Also, he had such beef with Crimson. And now
look.
Talk about walking in silence, moving in silence.
He said,
Cyril,
he said,
moving in silence.
He said, you'll hear from me. You'll know when you hear from
me. Oh, you'll know. Because
it will be at your downfall. You know those memes where it's like showing up to my wedding and you're in like sweatpants, and then it's like showing up to the downfall of my enemy and you're like in a tuxedo? Like, that's Cyril. He's just like sitting at home.
Yeah,
absolutely raking in the retribution.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that for him. He deserves that.
Go, Cyril.
You go, girl.
Okay.
One the top of the town. The hottest story on the block.
I need to discuss. Chicken shop date.
It was so good.
It was so good. And it was so funny because even in like the office this morning, people were like, oh, did you watch like the chicken shop date? Like he's a Formula One driver. And I'm like, of course I saw it.
Of course I was counting down for the premiere.
I literally was like, when does this air?
Literally.
I need to watch it. I was like giggling the whole time, like laying on my stomach, like kicking my feet.
It was really good.
Some people were in our DMs like, oh, like it feels crazy that Lando's like doing this. And I'm like, really? Like he is quite the little flirt. I feel like he's in the prime.
Yeah.
He may not like seem like it, but I know that he is going to be like a cute little partner. Like he's either going to be like really shy or he's going to have some heaters. Either way, I'm going to eat it up.
When she was like, are you romantic? And he was like, when I have to be.
When I need to be.
Like, he was like kind of shy. Mm-hmm. It was just, oh my God, it was so cute. And do you see they're like in each other's comments? And she like commented on his Instagram and was like, my guy. And he was like, my boo heart. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
I will say the one
downside to Chicken Shop Date was that
never
I was like,
long enough.
That and also was like, Amelia.
What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? You get a chance to go on a chicken shop date with Lando Norris, and this is what you're wearing?
She looked like a
little baby chicken being birthed.
I know. It was like the weird egg crack, and then with the red tights. I was like,
the red tights and the red shoes. I was like, are we a chicken?
Yeah, so you're taking hatching? This too literally.
I did not like it.
It wasn't really for me. Maybe Lando liked it, though. I don't know. Maybe she did her research on what Lando likes.
I could never see Luisa in that.
But it was cracking me up when she goes, oh, how fast do you go? And then she's, like, listing speeds. And then she's, like, 300. And he's, like, not that fast. And she goes, disappointing. I thought you'd go faster than that. And he goes, I'm working on it. And then when he,
if you were going that fast, you would have won by now.
And then he podiumed and she put on her story and she's like, PSA to anyone out there, all this athletes, like if you come on Chicken Shop Date, you will be better.
Like, it was,
there was
so
also
good.
A moment where he did, where she was talking and she goes, yeah, I'd be hotter if I was in there. And then he did like this lip bite. And I was like, Lando, enough. Enough. And it was the Capri Sun of it all. And then people were like upset because they were like, Amelia was like, oh, like what kind of girl are you looking for? Like, what's your type? And Lando goes, oh, I want someone to take care of me. That is the most like Lando response. Like, I am not surprised by that.
No.
And people are like, oh, you Lando girls, you can keep them. And you know what? Here's the thing. He is the youngest boy in the family.
Yeah.
He is that baby boy, okay?
Yeah.
He has no responsibilities.
None.
He has nothing to worry about, okay? And he has been good at karting for a very long time. And so his only responsibility in life has been to play video games and race cars. That man doesn't know how to do a chore to save his life, okay?
Definitely not.
Just Max does it either. He says his mom does his laundry all the time. So I just feel like you know what you're getting into. And we've talked about this with Lewis too. I feel like these kids are like such child stars.
Yes.
That they are stunted. Like they are not, they do not feel like fully grown adults. And you have to know that that's what you're getting into.
As if Danny's taking care of Heidi.
Yeah.
Danny's taking care of anyone. 10 years younger than him, absolutely running his schedule, guaranteed. That's why we don't see her at the races. She's home doing his laundry and shit. She's like, I gotta take care of my man child.
Literally.
My adult
and you know
baby.
What though? You know what though? I put in the comments and I said, with his salary, I'd probably take care of him. You know what? If I get to travel internationally and I get to do fun shit, like, you know what?
So what's a load of laundry?
I'm already doing my own. I might as well throw in an extra.
Sometimes I'm like, traditional gender roles might not be that
might
bad.
Might not be that bad. I just was like, you know what? I'll take care of you physically and emotionally. Like, and you know what? I don't think it's unreasonable for him to ask for someone to take care of him. Like, well, I also want someone to take care of me.
Right.
I can take care of myself, but it would be nice if every once in a while someone took care of me.
Yeah. A true relationship and a true partnership is taking care of each other.
Exactly.
So
he was just like, oh, I don't want to have to do all the work all the time. And you know
what? But also, she didn't say what kind of boyfriend are you, where he, and then he could have said, I take care of my girlfriend. She said, what kind of girl are you looking for? And he said, well, take care of me. So it was not a mutually exclusive statement.
Yeah, guys, and you know what? Here's the thing too, is I'm like, girl, I know you filmed for an hour and this is all you're giving us.
Yeah.
Fake. I need more.
Fake.
Release the tapes.
Release the tapes.
Where are One Direction girlies who hacked into the airport security camera?
Where are you now?
Chicken shop date files and release.
1D stalkers, where are they now?
I know you're in the fandom. I know that you're here. I know that to be true. Get to work.
Get to work. Traditional gender roles out the door. You're getting to work.
Okay, you know who else was getting to work?
Who?
Joe.
You better work. Work it, girl. Come on, girl. On the runway. Yeah.
He was serving.
Cover.
Your Honor, he was serving.
Serving. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner he was serving.
And I ate up.
And 2 balanced snacks throughout the day.
I love... It just felt so silly and light, and like I just was like, I really appreciate
it. It was just so youthful,
yes,
and joyful and happy. And I was like, you can tell he's having fun and he's feeling silly and he's feeling comfortable and like authentic in his clothes. I was living.
I was living. Every single one. I said another one. Another one.
Another one.
Another one.
Another one. It was every single one was better than the last.
I was just like so proud of him because I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit years ago when they did the Vanity Fair shoot with like George and Esteban and Lando, where we were like, a lot of people in the fandom were like, these photos are absurd. These are like, why would they put them in these outfits? But you know what? That is high fashion. Like, that's what the fashion industry is. Like, that's what fashion magazines are. And, you know, I think for better, not for worse, a lot of the drivers do kind of stray towards more traditional masculine gender roles and are probably pretty uncomfortable in being put in those types of situations and being perceived by their male fans as like, you know, anything but this like macho man. And so to see Joe just like fully embrace it right out was like so special.
Ugh, he is just the best.
I love him so much. I'm so glad that we have him on the grid.
Me too. I always want him to be happy.
Yeah.
And I always want him to feel comfortable and confident being himself and dressing the way he wants because it brings me a lot of joy to see. So,
I love it.
Joe, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Keep up the good work, Joe.
Keep up the good work. All right, let's get into a little bit of F1 Academy. Not a race weekend, so we don't have too much to talk about. But the big news,
important update,
F1 Academy this week is Susie Wolf. You may remember that in December of last year, Susie Wolf, who is the boss of F1 Academy, and the wife of Toto Wolf, she and Toto were both investigated over accusations of an alleged conflict of interest when Susie took on the role of director of F1 Academy. And they said because she's married to Toto and Toto and like Mercedes is going to have a car in F1 Academy, like there must be a conflict of interest. And she had come out
colluding, collusion.
Yeah. And she had come out at the time being like, this is just extremely misogynistic and nobody is admitting to having filed a complaint or anything. And then like they immediately were like, yeah, actually just kidding. We're not, our report, our findings are that there was nothing wrong. So keep on going. And it was just like super kind of fake. But now she's launched legal action against the FIA for that.
As she should.
As is her right. As is her right. And she was basically like, there was no transparency and it was, that's not chill. And so she is launching a complaint and I'm so proud of her for doing that. Mm-hmm. And Lewis has come out in support of her, obviously.
Obviously.
Lewis is literally the king of all kings. And he said, literally this, I don't know why, it just made me think of that Hallelujah chorus. And they say, King of kings, do-do-do-do-do, and Lord of lords, do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, that's Lewis.
That's Lewis.
It's not God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That I'll be singing that about Lewis Hamilton from now on. So anyways, he said, I'm incredibly proud of Susie Wolf. I think she's so brave and she stands for such great values. She's such a leader, and in a world where often people are silenced, for her to be standing up sends such a great message. I love that she's taken it out of this F1 world to fight it from the outside, because there's a real lack of accountability here within this sport, within the FIA. There's no transparency. There's clearly no accountability.
Yeah.
Amen, King.
And he also, on top of that, he also said that it's still a male-dominated sport and we're living in a time where the message is, if you file a complaint, you'll be fired. And that's a terrible narrative to be projecting into the world. And so I just love that he...
Yes.
He has been an ally so much in the past, you know, couple of months, especially with the Christian Horner situation and now Susie Wolf. And when asked if the FIA president has Lewis's support, he goes, he never has. Okay, bitch. He said, no, fuck that. Fuck that shit. I'm out. He said, the FIA is out to get me always, and I don't respect the authority here. And if anyone can relate to that, that's me. That speaks to me deeply.
Nicole so famously hates authority.
Hates an authority figure. Don't fucking speak to me.
Hates
so, yeah, Lewis is crushing it. Keep up the good work, Lewis. We love you.
We love you.
Forever and always. And I will physically fight anyone who says otherwise.
Me and you. If anyone says anything about Lewis and or Yuki,
we're punching. I've been itching for a fight. So you know what? Give me a reason.
Give me one reason.
You're gonna have to hold me back.
It's like every morally gray hero in a movie, and he's like, "Give me a reason. Give me a reason." And you're like, "We'll be spoiling for a fight."
Who did this to you? That's you and me to Lewis and Yuki.
Yeah, literally. All right, let's rock it.
Where's my wife? All right, we have a manifest minute this week coming from Christy.
Christy
slid into the DMs earlier this week and asked for a manifest minute. Christy has been in a dead-end job since COVID that she hates, and she's been looking for about 8 months and has not been able to find a new job. She just read her dream job posting and immediately put together her application. It's exactly what she wants to do, and she's so qualified for it.
Okay,
so she is asking for the power of TG1F community to be able to secure her dream job and leave this dead end job. So if everyone could take a deep breath in, deep breath out. And really, I think we've all been in some sort of position like this before. You have been in a job that you don't really love, and you're looking for your next thing. You know that you are super qualified for this job you come across. You know that you would bring your all every single day, be so excited to contribute to, you know, a wonderful company, a wonderful team, and really build something special for the world. And there's no greater fear than really tweaking your application, writing that cover letter, making sure your resume is perfect, looking at it over and over again to make sure that it's kind of final and you feel really proud of it, and hitting send, and then just waiting. You've sent it out into the ether and you really have no control over it at this point. But the thing that you can do is really just know that you've done the best that you can at that point in time. You've spent time making sure that it's perfect. You spent time researching the company, making sure that you're talking about the things that they care about. And you've built up your career to know that you are skilled and qualified for this. Amen. And so I hope everyone kind of takes that energy and that positive feeling of knowing that you've done the best that you can and really just send it towards Christy this week. Mm. So we're going to seal that with our intention. So take a deep breath in, deep breath out. And let's all just go into the rest of this week with some confidence in ourselves and belief that we have created a version of ourselves that we should be proud of because we worked hard and we know that the right opportunity will be presented to us because we have worked hard to get to it. So Christy, I feel really positive about this job. And, you know, if this one doesn't happen to work out, I know that something good is coming your way soon. And anyone else who is in the same position, just keep trying, keep talking to people. It's not just you. The market is very bad right now. And so don't lose hope. It's not you. Don't let it get to you if you're struggling with this.
Amen.
So that's the tea this weekend.
That's the tea.
This weekend, this week, whatever day it is. we don't have a race this week, so we'll have another chaotic episode next week. We hope you guys join us for that one. But until then.
Until then.
We'll see you on the internet.
See you on the internet. Bye.